The gift of the word this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. After the reading, I'll allow a moment of silent reflection. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and they went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said. 'And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "Well, the one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Amen. So I expect that if I asked any of you a question like, "What is the duty of mankind?" you might give a good answer like, "Oh, well, we're supposed to love God or love our neighbor." It's a theme that we often hear in church, right? We pray, asking God for forgiveness for ways that we haven't done that so well. I think it's helpful for the church to remember that all of the law is fulfilled in these words, to love God and to love our neighbor. Those are 2 great commands that Jesus puts out there in his teaching. And I bet most of you would get that right if I asked you. I also wonder if I asked you, "Do you love God?" you would probably say, "Yeah, I do." And I would tell you, "I love God." And I wonder if you could prove me wrong. But then if I asked you, "Do you love your neighbor?" how would you answer that question? And if I told you, "I love my neighbor," you might have a better chance of proving me wrong. Do we love our neighbor? In the New Testament, the apostle writer Paul, he says that love is the fulfillment of the law. And the apostle John, he writes that if anyone says he loves God but hates his brother, the love of God is not in him. Loving God and loving our neighbor goes hand in hand. And we'll see this morning that the challenge of saying we love God also entails a life of love for one another, for our neighbor. So this is a very familiar parable to many, the Good Samaritan. It's a parable that children read in their books and can dabble in and understand. But it's also something that will always be challenging for us as we live the Christian life. One author says, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, it's like it's shallow enough that a child can swim in it and play in it and understand. Jesus loves me. But it's also so deep that a big elephant can drown in it. We can never totally fathom it and comprehend how wonderful it is. And in the same way, the parables of Jesus, they're understood by children. But yet even the wisest teacher cannot totally understand them. So this morning, I'm excited to just walk through this parable of Jesus. Jesus taught in parables just to turn things upside down and to reveal that even when you think you know something, you have no idea what you're talking about. And I relate to this teacher. We're in a community of intellect. We're right next to Dartmouth College. It's tempting at times to look at our degrees and the studies and the things we've learned and said, and we think we know what we're talking about. I read this parable and I think, oh yeah, the teacher really, he had a good answer there to Jesus' question. What is written in the law? To love God, to love our neighbor. But then you see that Jesus kind of tricks him and asks him another question. Well, that's good. Do this and you will live. But the expert in the law felt tricked and he had to justify himself. So he says, okay, so who is my neighbor? And Jesus shares the parable. In this parable, we see that part of understanding the love of God and the love of neighbor is our own hearts. What kind of questions are we asking? This expert in the law wanted to know who his neighbor was, almost giving Jesus the place to prove him wrong. Jesus tells the story. A man was going down the street and got mugged, left for dead, and three characters walk by. One is a priest. He didn't help him. He walked by on the other side. What did he see? He didn't see somebody in need. He saw like a ceremonial defilement. The priest was to be clean and pure for his duties. If he went and helped this man who was probably bloodied and sick, naked, he would have been ceremonially unclean. He would have been unfit for his job. He didn't want to bother with that. He walked by on the other side. So too a Levite, or you could say a priest in training, came along. He had better things to do as well. He was training and following in the ways of the priest who went before him. This might have been like a pastor. He didn't see somebody in need. He might have seen like a sermon illustration or something. He didn't bother with that. And then what really stands out to the audience here is a Samaritan, one of those other people that we don't have anything to do with. He came by and he saw the man and he went and helped him. Jesus asked the question, who do you think was a neighbor to this man? The teacher of the law is stumped. Well, okay, it's the one who had compassion, the one who showed mercy. Jesus invites him, go and do likewise. In Jesus' amazing parable, we see that the questions we ask as human beings The questions we ask as people who love God really matter. Our motives matter. Where we come from matters. The lens in which we see things matter. Each of these men saw something. We see from this parable that the question is not, who is my neighbor? But the real question that we have to ask ourselves is, am I going to be a neighbor? Am I going to be a neighbor? Haddon Robinson is one of the preaching professors, was one of the preaching professors at Gordon Conwell, whose legacy I got to sit under during my time there. And he talks about this parable and says, a neighbor, we therefore see that a neighbor is anyone whose need we see, whose need we are in a place to meet. I'll say that again. Who is a neighbor? Our neighbor is anybody whose need we see, whose need we are in a position to meet. It might be the person right next door to you on the street. It might be the person in the next cubicle, in the next study room, in the next office. It might be somebody who you've never met or you'll never meet in person, but you hear their stories on the news or online. They might be people that we can support through our charity and our giving. But who is our neighbor? It's a person whose need we see, whose need we are in a position to meet. I had the opportunity this week to go down to Boston with Steve and watch him give a lecture at the Boston Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary campus for systems thinking, and how even in ministry and in a church, we can think about living systems to do ministry in a healthy way. And when we think about a working system, we realize that there are many problems out there that are very, very complex. Things such as racism or violence, things like the opioid epidemic. They're overwhelming problems, yet they give us real solutions if we think in a systemic way. And part of thinking about a systemic problem that is really complex and big is we have to see it the right way. The text here says that each of these three guys saw the person on the street. They saw the mugged person. But did they see it the right way? In the world we live in that's broken by sin, it can be easy to totally miss a problem that's right in front of our eyes. We'll see that being a good neighbor involves seeing things clearly. It involves feeling the right way about this problem, and it also involves doing something about it. So we think of our neighbors and people in need that are around us. Do we even see them? Are our eyes closed? Are we even looking? Do we even know what to look for? If we see our neighbor in need, are we interpreting that correctly? Are we giving meaning to what we see around us? Again, the scribe and the Pharisee, the priest and the priest-to-be, they saw a man mugged on the side of the road, and they just saw a ceremonial defilement, something that they couldn't do anything about or weren't willing to do. But the Samaritan saw somebody in need. How do we see the problems around us? How do we see our neighbors and our friends? We have to ask the right question. Who is my neighbor? Will I be a neighbor to this person? In In his reflections on this parable, Martin Luther King Jr. said, "The priest and the Levite asked the question, 'If I stop to help this man, what will happen to me?' But the Samaritan, the good Samaritan, comes along and reverses the question. 'If I don't help this person, what will happen to them?'" Martin Luther King Jr. goes on to say, "Compassion arises in our hearts when we enter into spaces of suffering, not when we avoid them." The first part about being a good neighbor is just seeing our neighbor, seeing those in need, seeing them rightly. The second thing we see in the text about being a good neighbor is mercy and compassion. Verse 33, "But a Samaritan, as he went to him, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and he saw him, he took pity on him." The same word for when Jesus looks out at the crowd of people, harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He has compassion on them. It's a word that means a deep inner, like stirring, like a gut-wrenching emotion. A heartfelt emotion, having compassion on somebody, seeing their plight, feeling for them, longing for them to be made whole. A neighbor is anyone whose need you see, whose need you are in a position to meet. Part of like what we see is who we are. When we are loved by God, we see those who need God's love. Being a good neighbor involves seeing correctly. It involves feeling compassion, having the same compassion as the Samaritan. And it also involves doing something about it. This is the point that the sermon says, so what? Okay, so you see that person in need. What are you going to do about it? We see here that the Good Samaritan does something about it. He went to him. He went to that man. He didn't cross by on the other side. He went to that man. He bandaged him. He put him up on his own donkey after pouring oil and wine on him. The Good Samaritan used his resources that he had to help this man. He went to him. He used his bandage and his oil. He put him on his own donkey. He took him to an inn and paid his own money. He opened a tab at the inn. "I'll come back and I'll cover whatever else I owe you." The Samaritan saw the man. He felt compassion for the man. And he used his immediate resources to help this guy out. Jesus is talking to a teacher of the law who's trying to trick him, and he gets tricked. Jesus finally says, "Which of these three guys do you think was a neighbor to this man that was mugged?" "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus invites us, "Go and do likewise." The way we see things informs our lives. Who we are as children of God informs what we see. And what we see ends up being what we do. We are what we do. And by being children loved by God, we can offer the same love to those around us. A neighbor is somebody whose need you see, whose need you are in a position to meet. We have the Good Samaritan here, but we also remember that in the parable, Jesus is giving us a life lesson. But Jesus Christ, too, we think of him. He's the one who saw our plight. He saw our need as sinners, separated from God by our brokenness, broken off relationship, And Jesus crossed the side of the road. He walked on the side of the road that we were on. The Son of Man, he became like one of us. He entered, he came to us. He died in our place. He has bandaged us our wounds. He has put oil and wine on our heads. He has put us on his donkey. He has cared for us. He has given up his resources that we might be made well. Jesus gave his immediate resources so that we might have life. Just as the Good Samaritan is the good neighbor, Jesus has been a neighbor for us. We now can be a neighbor to those around us. A neighbor is a person whose need we see, whose need we are in a position to meet. And the question that we should be asking ourselves is not, who is my neighbor? What do I really have to do? What will happen to me if I help this person? But you and I, as children loved by God, we can ask new questions. How can I be a neighbor to this person in need? What resources do I have to give up for this person? What will happen to that person if I don't help them? Am I seeing these systemic problems correctly? And how can I be a little part of the change? We are loved by God to love others. Jesus has been a neighbor to us so that we might be a good neighbor to others.